God is good. His mercy endures forever, all the time. Praise God. Sister Michelle is going to kick it off, and then I'll wind it up. But open your heart. Open your spiritual ears. Open these ears, too. And keep these open, because things may happen.
Things are happening. Things are happening. There is a sweetness of the presence of God here this morning. I don't know if you've noticed it, but just a very precious presence. There are things that God wants to do and encourage and stir in you today, and I'm going to invite you to do something before we get started. And that is, for those of you who are sitting in the nether regions, I invite you to fill in these blank places up here. Again, there's nothing necessarily extra special or holy about the front versus the back. It's just, how many distractions do you want between you and the anointing? How much distance do you want between you and what's going on? Are you afraid? Is that why you're sitting in the back? Are you worried that something might spill out on you? I don't think you are. I'm pretty sure you're not. But I just want to give you an opportunity to draw closer, closer to one another, closer to the river, closer to what God is doing. There are some amazing things that He's doing. We are being knit together in His presence and in His anointing. So I appreciate the few of you that moved. And I know for each and every one of you, God sees your heart. And I know some of you in your heart, you're just like sitting right up here on the floor. I can remember when I was a teenager, we would do that quite a bit. We had a lot of ministry in the church that we were in. We had a lot of big names, people you'd probably know, but there was always a flow of the anointing. And our youth group wanted to be as close as we could, and we would fight for the front row. Okay? I'm talking teenagers. We would fight for the front row because we didn't want anything between us and what God was doing. And when it filled up and you didn't get there in time, or like musical chairs, somebody beat you to it, we would sit on the floor. I'm not moving back. And I can tell you, I don't know what all God is going to do this morning. I don't know what He's going to do, but I know He wants to do something in you. And I'm asking you to yield yourself. If you need to make that step that says, I'm not staying where I was, I'm moving up, I'm moving out, is your opportunity to do that. And I want to tell you now that I don't know. We might be done in 20 minutes. I know. Or we might go long. And I just want to let you know, if you have obligations, commitments, and you need to leave before we're done, it's okay. Nobody's going to fuss at you. We got lives, stuff going on. But I just want you to have that opportunity so that if we get to a certain point, we don't have to stop and dismiss some and keep going with some. Because truly, I'm not certain what all God is doing this morning. But I know that when we gathered for prayer last night, God began to stir something in my spirit and in Brother Richard's spirit, and he's going to be up here in a few minutes. And I'm just going to share the few things that God has put in my heart. But I want you to be listening, be listening, be listening in your spirit. What does God want you to do? How does He want you to receive? How does He want you to take this in? Some of you are waiting to be hit by a wave of anointing. Some of you are waiting to feel something. Some of you are waiting for the goosebumps, for a wind to blow your hair back, and oh, there's God. But I want you to know that He is here, and He is already in you. And it's that still, small voice that sometimes the stuff crowds out. And I want to tell you, especially for you females, I understand there's stuff you go through. And sometimes we're trying to hold it in because I'm a big girl and I'm trusting God and He's going to get me through this and I'm going to be fine. And sometimes you're putting on that happy face and you're saying the right things and your heart is hurting. And sometimes He's waiting for you to just let that dump out, let it go. Maybe you need to cry a little bit. Because sometimes that giving up of trying to make it look like everything's okay. You see, there's faith, and then there's faking it. And sometimes we're faking it thinking that we're in faith. And God's like, if you're weary, would you come to me? If you're weary, would you come to me and let me give you rest? And he can't give you rest until you lay down the burden. And sometimes you got to lay those burdens down with tears. But let me promise you, when you do that, you'll come away different. So just be willing to let God do in you what he wants to do. Maybe he wants you to run around the building. I know Brother John's been waiting for that opportunity. Anytime now, just tag me and I'll run. You can ask him about that later. Maybe he just wants you to kneel. Maybe he just wants you to come closer. Maybe he wants you to lift your hands. I don't know. But it's always exciting when we're not sure what God's going to do, but we know he's up to something. Amen? So just flow with us this morning. I just have a few thoughts to share with you of the process that the body of Christ is in right now. We are going through some phases. It's a word that Brother Rudy used last night. Some phases of some things, some changes, some stuff. And for some of us, it feels like business as usual. I've been going through stuff for the last 20 years. Stuff after stuff after stuff. Lots of stuff. I understand stuff. This stuff is for a different purpose. It's a little bit different, okay? For some of us, we've been wandering around in the wilderness, it feels like. Waiting to see the promise of where I know there's a promised land around here somewhere. I know it's here somewhere, and we've been waiting, and we've trusted God. You're here because you've trusted God. Okay, but we're just about to get to that place of crossing over. Remember where Joshua said, you got 3 days to get it together? And then he said, I want you to consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow God's going to do amazing things among us. We've been in a time of consecration. And in that time of consecration, stuff happens. And it looks like the usual stuff that's been happening. But it's different because God's putting you through your paces because it's time for promotion. Okay? He's putting you through your paces. He's taking you through some stuff because there's some special things he's doing with you and in you, because he wants to use you. He wants to launch you. He wants to put you in a different place. There's going to be promotion. You're going to be stepping up. You're going to be high profile. Okay? And do you understand that the higher your profile is, the more that God uses you in ministry, the more that he wants to step closer, the bigger a target you are. Do you understand that? So if there's anything in you, any buttons the enemy can push, any stuff that's going to come out, God wants, let's find out about it before we put you on the front lines, okay? So the stuff that you're going through right now is your opportunity to let God get you ready, get you fit, to launch product. They do it in a small place, in a small region, just a little bit. And they take note of what worked and what didn't through focus groups. And they get it ready. And then they're ready to send it, okay? So there are some things that you are going through right now, but I want you to understand it's just a new season. It's not just a new day. It's a new era of the church. So God is getting ready for his product launch in a greater way, and he's just doing some things. One of the things that he's doing is refining. I've seen this over and over again lately as I would pray, as I would just worship the Lord, say, what are you doing? And I've written it. I've got about 6 different journals that are for prayer time and this and that. And just about every one of them says, I'm refining. I'm refining. I'm refining. You see, it's some of us think we're okay. And for the last season, maybe you were okay. But the more high profile you get, the more refined he wants you. Looking up the definition of refining, one of them is to remove the impurities. Remove the impurities. One way that's done with metals is to turn up the heat. How many of you have had the heat turned up just a little bit? Turning up the heat. But what happens? At every temperature increment, a different impurity. And you know, it's not necessarily poison. It's just something that's not supposed to be there. It may be a metal that somebody else needs, you know, that you use for something else, but God said it's not supposed to be in you. And when the heat is turned up, it rises to the top. But the interesting thing about this gold that's being refined is that you have the option to say, but I want that, and take it back. Or you can yield to the process of the Holy Spirit taking it out. They scrape it off the top as those impurities are exposed. They are removed when we submit to the process and yield to God working in our heart through our willingness to change. That's your humility before Him. David said in Psalm 139, 23 and 24, search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any wicked or hurtful way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Guess what? It can be painful when God wants to take timidity out of you. He said, I called you to be a bold mouth for me, and you're hiding in the corner. A little bit painful. Maybe it's selfishness. Maybe it's greed. Maybe it's your own agenda. I'm behind the hand on the street corner. I don't know what it is. I know sometimes I'll see something in me. Sways with. Take it out. Take it out. And how does He do that? How do you know if it's out? You got to go up against the same thing again. It happens again. It rises up again. Okay, God, I'm still a work in progress. Take it out. And when the thing happens and you don't go, then you know it's out. That's a process God's going through. He's taken us through that. Can anybody witness? Seen a little bit of that in your life? Another way that we are refined is improving by making small changes. You know, just refine it a little bit. Just we're okay. Best is good enough. Some of us think we're good. I'm good enough. I go to church. I lift my hands every once in a while. I read my Bible last week. Even read it 3 days. I'm good. I know God. If I need Him, I run to Him. And God says, yeah, but you could be better. Not through your works, not through what you're doing, but just a heart that's listening. Now, you planned on getting 7 o'clock in the morning and reading your Bible. That's wonderful. But what about 2 in the afternoon when it's break time and you can't wait for popcorn and to catch up on your Facebook or whatever you're catching up on? And God says, let's talk. Are you listening? Are you hearing Him? And go into those places. Just little changes. Just a little change. What is it that He's asking of you? He's refining you. Another aspect of that word is to make elegant or cultured. Malachi chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 talks about God saying that in that day we will be His precious stones, His special, the church, the manifold wisdom of God would be made known to the rulers and the authorities. He said, through you, what He does in you, He wants to show the world His wisdom. That's a high calling. That's a very high calling. And when He lifts you up as His special treasure and the light of His love shines through you, people are going to say, wow, isn't that girl beautiful? I don't know what is it? And that's because you let God refine you. Get some of those smudges out. Get some of those things. It's a refining process. It's not fun. It's challenging. Sometimes you're refined with sandpaper. Sandpaper. God sends people into your life, and they are the sandpaper. And they just rub me the wrong way. God, would you take that corner off of that person? And God said, no, I'm going to smooth out a little chunk right here so they fit. And we have to submit to that process. What are you doing, God? What are you doing? And when your heart is willing and you're saying, okay, then you're ready to be elevated. Then you're ready to be shut. And it's a work in progress. I don't think we'll ever get to perfection because we don't have the glorified body that we will. But there's always better in Him. And this one I love, this definition of refine is to fine-tune or to calibrate. so that we can resonate or harmonize with one another. Have you ever heard a piano that was out of tune? You play those two notes, and it's supposed to be harmony, and it's like a 4.5, interval. That's not supposed to be. Those of you who are musical understand that. God wants to tune us, and sometimes we want him to tune them. And he says, no, I want to tune you. And maybe it's not because there's anything wrong with us. We just know, he knows that we don't like the process of being tuned. And he's like, you got to be flexible. You got to understand we're playing in a different key. We're using a different scale now. My kids know so much more about music than I do. And my son's always talking about different scales. And I don't even remember what they are. But playing in a different key, tuning your guitar to a different, drop D or something. It's just different than what you're used to playing in. And God's like, well, I want to tune you for that one because that's a group you're going to be playing with for a while. I'm not made for that, God. Oh, but when I'm done with you, you will be. It's going to be a thing of beauty, but you got to submit to the process. The thing that I laughed about this, the last thing on calibrating, and I hope this resonates with you. How many of you have ever played or you have kids who have in your house played Rock Band? Few people know about it. There's a video that you watch and they show you what to play on the instrument. There's a guitar, bass guitar, drums. Some of them have keyboard. There's vocals. And you want the picture on the TV to match the audio that comes through your instrument. Otherwise, it gets off. Like if you're watching a DVD or something and the sound and the picture get off and it's really weird. So they do something called calibrate. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Calibrate Rock Band. A few of you. Okay. The times that I've seen it done the most were when my son-in-law was in the house, married to my youngest daughter. He plays the drums. He's an amazing drummer. So he's got this huge, he got the drum set with all the cymbals and everything on it. And I keep hearing this noise. I'm in the kitchen washing dishes or whatever, and there's just this bam, bam, bam. And every time it feels like somebody's hitting me over the head, and I'm like, what are they doing? Oh, they're calibrating. Because they need the sound that comes out of the instrument to match the picture. So they keep doing that, and there's something on there that shows them when they get it just right. I don't know if the dot goes to the middle or what. I never played it. I've just heard it hours and hours and hours. So I'm hearing this bam. They do something. Bam. They do something. And I was thinking about it last night. That's kind of how I've felt lately. You're just going along, doing what you think you're supposed to be doing, Brother Rudy, and all of a sudden, bam! And it's like, what was that? What's the next thing that comes out of your mouth? Does it match? Yeah, somebody's honest. Does it match the picture that God has given us? Count it all joy. Praise me in the storm. Does it match the picture that God has given you of walking in joy? Bam! Why did it happen again? You're being calibrated. You're being calibrated so that the sound that comes out of the instrument matches the picture that God has given you of your life. And it keeps happening until you get it right, until we get that certain sound of praise. Until we're matching what the Word of God says. I am victorious always. Bam! I am the healed of the Lord. I don't care what it looks like. Bam! I've got the joy of the Lord and I walk in it. I don't care what it feels like. Bam! I have more than enough. I have no lack and no need. Until the sound that comes out of you matches the picture that God has given us. Oh, we got to focus for that. We got to focus. We got to put it in us. We've got to put that word in us. So God is refining us. Refining. We're in a time of refinement. The next thing that God is doing as we are refined is alignment. Alignment. I've heard that word a lot lately. Arrangement in correct or appropriate relative positions. 1 Corinthians 12:18, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. What has he chosen? Imagine if your hand decided it wanted to be attached to your knee. You might could do some interesting things, but this would be useless. And a lot of things would be out of your reach, if you will. There's a proper alignment, and we don't get to choose. We don't get to choose. But let me promise you, when you are listening and faithful to what he has said, it will bring you the most joy that you have ever had, the most fulfillment, when you let him put you where he wants you. And some of us want to be in the back. I'm fine in the back. And God says, rrr. And sometimes we want to be in the front. And God says, sometimes it's seasonal, for a time, for a season. But we have to be willing to be where he has put us. God puts us where we need to be, in the right place at the right time. It's like when you line up a mirror. You know, ladies, you're trying to look at the back of your hair. And you line up that mirror with the one behind you so you get just the right angle. Well, what happens if you don't have the right angle? You can't see. There's no fruit in the function, in what you're doing. Or arranging a mirror so that there's light reflecting from it to where you want it. You know, like trying to get the start a little, or a magnifying glass, start a little fire on a little leaf on the sidewalk, and you're trying to get it in just the right place. God wants you in just the right place so that you are effective. Alignment is what he is doing right now. Agreement, another thing about alignment is agreement or alliance, coming alongside and agreeing with. With God, it's obedience with the right attitude. You can be in the right place, but not with the right heart. The word says God loves a cheerful giver, not a grumpy giver, not a, you know, a reticent, a hesitant, a cheerful giver. Yes, attitude means a lot. It's the willing and obedient that eat the good of the land. God, I'm here and I don't like it. But you said to be here, so I'm going to sit here. You might get to eat a little bit, but not the good of the land. Where do you want me, God? And I will go wherever you want me. I will go where you want me, God. Are you willing to stay in the uncomfortable, in the strange, in the I don't like this? And those people are crazy. What are you talking about, God? Are you willing and obedient? 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Did he ask God to knit them together and make them have the same mind? Did he ask God to make those things happen? No, he asked you. It's your choice. It is your choice to be of the same mind with your brothers and sisters, of the same judgment, and that there be no divisions among you. That's your choice to not have those divisions. Another thing about alignment is the proper adjustment for coordinating functioning of components. The proper adjustment for coordinating functioning of components. It's like motor skills. You know, we talk about children developing in their hand-eye coordination, getting the hand in the right place, getting the tennis racket in the right place when that tennis ball is coming. Those motor skills, getting those things fine-tuned. Can you work without complaining? That's like hand-heart coordination. Aligning so we're working as God wants us to. The picture that I have is that we know that Christ is the head, right? So think of your body. When you get something out of alignment, it causes pain, but it causes dysfunction. And sometimes maybe your fingers will go numb because the signals are not getting from the head to the appendage, to the place of action, because something is out of place. Something is misaligned. They call it nerve impingement. It gets in the way and it stops up the signal from going from the head to the foot, to the hand. Are we in proper alignment that when the head says go, we go? That when the head says serve your brother, we serve? Are we in the proper alignment that when the head says call Michelle, she needs help today, we're not numb in that area and not listening? The proper alignment. The word talks about coming to the unity of faith, lining up with what Christ has said. Putting things in their proper place allows the flow to accomplish what it needs to accomplish, to make the body work together. So we're being refined and we're being aligned. And the next thing that happens when we submit to that process after refinement and alignment is assignment. Assignment. God, you want me to go where? You want to do what? Sometimes He'll give you a heads up if He knows it won't completely blow your mind. He'll give you a heads up of what is coming, and finally it'll make sense and you understand why you had to learn those things and why that bam kept coming. Because if you don't get that straight, this is not going to work for this assignment. Is work to be done that is given to someone as a part of their studies. Sometimes your assignment is to serve somewhere and learn. Elisha served Elijah. And as I understand it, he was probably not an easy person to serve. He sounds kind of grumpy when you look through the way that he would treat his servant, the way he treated people around him. Kind of a, what do you want me to do about it attitude. You don't want to do what God said? Fine, die. He served that man and kept his heart right. And when he completed that assignment, what was the next assignment? He stepped into the mantle of Elijah. Do you understand the importance of sticking with the assignment? Staying with the place where God has put you. Because when you're faithful, there's promotion. There's a new mantle released, a new anointing when you stay with that God has told you. A job, a position, a post, or an office that someone is sent somewhere to do. Elisha was assigned to the mantle of Elijah. Galatians 4, 1 and 2 says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, he doesn't differ from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but he's under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father." Are you willing to stay in that place of serving until the time appointed? When you're faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful ruler over much. But it's not up to how much God puts in you. It's up to how much you receive and cooperate with what God is doing and putting inside of you. So we have to trust Him. Luke 10:1 says, "After these things, the Lord appointed another 70 and sent them two and two before His face into every city and place." He sent them out. He appointed them and He sent them out. Some of you are going to be receiving appointments and you're going to be sent out, but it's important that you be one who is sent and not one who just went. There's timing involved in assignments. And you better stay where He put you until He says now. And it's going to be confirmed by the elders that He's placed over you. There is a process for those assignments. So whether you're one to go or send, that generally involves being a part of the resources necessary for those who go, or one who stays with the stuff. Someone has to go out into the streets and evangelize and let people know. But then there's a discipleship process that needs to take place, generally in the house or in someone's house. Some people are sent to bring them in, and then there are people here who bring them in and teach and train. And then we send them out again, and then they bring in another wave. What part are you? I don't know. But it's time for God to be putting out those assignments. There's a time of proving and promoting, of positioning and commissioning. It feels uncomfortable when you're getting ready to move, and you're ready to move, and you think you're ready to move, and it's not time to move yet, and it's not time to move yet, but I thought I was ready to move. Bam! Oh, okay. You need a little more refining. And I thought it was time to get in this place and get in alignment, and oh, God, I'm not hearing your voice anymore. Okay, you need to move a little bit. Get back to that place of waking up early every morning or staying up late every night and hearing what I'm saying. Practice hearing the voice of God. And then being assigned. We are being put through the paces to confirm that we are able to perform in the way that God wants us to. It's not a temptation and a testing of God that's, well, let's just see if you got it together. It is that I want you to be razor sharp. Can you cut through this? Okay, we need a little more polishing. We need a little more, what do you call it when you sharp? A little more sharpening. It's not like, are you being smart enough? Or it's just a matter of, let's just make sure you got what we need. Because, boy, when I put you on the front lines, it's going to be high. It's going to be moving fast. There's going to be all kinds of stuff coming at you. There's going to be people coming to you wanting book deals and record deals and all kind of stuff. And Brother Damon, where's your heart? Can you say no when they bring the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow? Because you're in alignment. Oh, I'm still listening to God. He said, there's a snake in that one. Mm-mm. You don't know what's going to be coming at you fast and furious. People are going to bring charming words to you when you're elevated. The enemy is going to send everything you ever thought you wanted. Are you in alignment? Are you listening? He's also going to send some junk and some problems. Are you calibrated? When you get hit over the head again, does what comes out of you still match the picture? So we're coming into those assignments. And God wants to strengthen us, and he wants us to shine like the sun and make sure there's not anything in us that would be our downfall. But I want you to understand that these things happen the best when we come to him. See, there's a river flowing through you for others. There's a river that flows through me for Sister Holly if she needs something. But Holly has to remember that there is a river flowing in the presence of God, in the house of God, for what she needs. That she needs to come and be a part and partake of that, to be filled so that she is not thirsty, to have her needs met, so that when she goes out to flow, nothing's in the way. Nothing is in the way. So we need to be listening, and we need to be ready. When God says drink, better take advantage of it now. Tomorrow I might be walking through the desert. You're in the house of God right now. There's an opportunity to draw on the anointing, to draw on his presence here, if you will.
Praise God. I had her say all that to set me up. Actually, I did not. God had her say all that. David was anointed king of Israel, and he wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. So he had them build a tabernacle. It was according to the pattern that Moses was shown in the wilderness, and he appointed singers and musicians, 24-hour praise and worship. And God prospered David in all that he did. and he prospered that. But David got a little concerned that he was sleeping in houses that, or he lived in a mansion, a big, you know, the Bible says that he lived in a house of cedar. But the ark of the Lord Most High lived in under curtains. It was a tent. So he said he had in his heart to build God a house, a real house, a grand and glorious house. God said no. That wasn't his assignment. He had blood on his hands. He was a man of war. But God chose his son, Samuel, to build a house. David provided most of the materials for it. So he had a part of it. He had a hand in it, but it was not his gig. So they got the house finished. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 11, y'all know the story. But listen to this first part. When the priest came forth from the holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without regard to divisions. In other words, it didn't matter what camp they were part of, what group they had been assigned to. They sanctified themselves. They went through the three steps that Michelle just talked about, the refining, the aligning, and the assignment. They knew what they were supposed to do. They purified themselves. That was the alignment. And they were ready. And then all the Levitical singers, Asaph, Hemani, Jeduthun, and their sons and kinsmen, clothed in fine linen, with cymbals, harps, and lyres, standing east of the altar, and with 120 priests blowing trumpets. You thought it was loud in here a while ago. In unison, when the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to make and to glorify the Lord. That was their alignment and their assignment again. And when they lifted up their voice, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and when they praised the Lord, saying, He indeed is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Then the house of the Lord, was filled. I didn't add that in there. That's the way it's written in my Bible. The house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. They aligned themselves with the will, plan, and purpose of God. They did it God's way. And God showed up. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. They had aligned themselves because they had been assigned. Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power. But on the day of Pentecost, they were in one place, in one accord. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. They had fulfilled their refining, aligning, and their assignment, or they received their assignment at that point. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. This is right after the disciples had been threatened. Peter and John had been arrested. The government told them, you can't have church, you can't speak in the name of Jesus. They flogged them, turned them loose. They went immediately to their brothers, and they prayed. God, you hear their threatenings. God, you know, give us more boldness to speak the word. Verse 31, chapter 4, and when they had prayed, when they put themselves in alignment, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Now, I am sure that some of those people were part of the first infilling in chapter 2. But they were filled again. They were filled with the Holy Spirit when the place was shaken. And they began to speak the word of God with boldness. Acts chapter 10. Peter had been called to Caesarea because of a man named Cornelius that lived there. He was a devout man and one who feared God with all his household and gave many alms to the Jewish people. And here comes Peter. He was at Simon the Tanner's house. He was waiting for them to prepare dinner because he was hungry. He went upstairs to pray a little bit while they prepared. God put him in a trance and he had a vision of what was clean and unclean. You know the story. Men are waiting at the gate. Go with them. He aligned himself with the word of God, with the will of God, with the Spirit of God. He went with the men to Cornelius' house. They weren't Jews. They were Gentiles. And while Peter was explaining why it was illegal for him to be there, verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. The Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. Event after event in the Word that we find where when men got in line with what God had said, what God had promoted, what God had set up already, God shows up. I'm ready for God to show up. Are we in the place? Are we in the place where we need to be for God to show up? You know, I've heard, and I've said this before, I've heard of 6,000 people, Huntington Beach, California. God showed up. They wanted to have church. They worshiped God. They got baptized in the ocean. 6,000. You know, they had 3,000 at Pentecost. They had 5,000 at another time. 6,000 on the West Coast. And then there's a meeting at the Capitol a couple of weeks ago. They had tens of thousands. People showed up. God showed up. Work happened. The Spirit of God is showing up where the saints of God are aligning themselves. We are coming together. Now, is the place we're in today going to be shaken? I'm talking about this room with these walls. Is this going to be shaken? Could be. If God shows up, he can shake anything. He normally does. Everything shakes when God shows up. Are you going to be open to be shaken maybe in your bed at 1 o'clock in the morning? Are you open to receive God's Spirit showing up? His glory showing up and shaking. Hey, I'm here to pour out my Spirit on you. I don't know what's going to happen, but this is what God said. to make a place for the Spirit of God to show up. Stand with me. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, they were praising and singing to God. They were making one sound and one voice to God, and He showed up. In the upper room, they were together. They were one accord. They were praying. God showed up. They were praying to God about boldness. God showed up. They were gathered in another house. God showed up when Peter was preaching. Not even talking about, he was still explaining why that he was a Jew and it was illegal for him to be in the midst of Gentiles, which he found out was wrong. Even though he was preaching wrong, God showed up. Are you ready? Let's begin to celebrate. Let's begin to worship God. Let's lift our voice in praise and thanksgiving and in consecration. Open your heart and let the Holy Spirit take control. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm expecting God's glory to be revealed here this morning. You say, well, it's already almost 12:30. I don't care. I'm expecting God to show up here this morning in this place. And if He don't, it's not my ball game. It's God's ball game, and He can show up whenever He wants. He may show up in your house. He may show up in your neighbor's house, and you have to go explain to them what's going on. But let's celebrate. Let's call on the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we open ourselves to receive the refining. We open ourselves to receive your alignment, Father God. Put us in the place where you want us to be. Let us be in that proper relationship with you, Father God, hooked up to the right terminals with you, Father God, and allow your holy presence, your anointing, the anointing of your glory, the power of your glory. You said it was not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. So Holy Spirit, come, come and visit us. Visit with us, empower us, indwell in us. We receive you in Jesus' name. Okay. Let's just lift our voice in praise. Let's not pray with your understanding. With your understanding, make up some words that will glorify God. Hallelujah! 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 Mighty God, we praise you. We worship you, Lord. We glorify your name. Great are you, Lord, and greatly to be praised. Worthy are you, Lord, to receive all glory and honor forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah! Shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Give glory to God. Shout to God with a voice of praise. Hallelujah, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. He always inhabits the praises of His people. We celebrate you this day, Father God. We bless your name. Hallelujah. 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 You are good. Father, we thank you that you have all things in your hand. The earth is yours, and it belongs to you. Everything in it belongs to you, and we return to you, Father God, all that we have. We give to you praise. We give to you glory. We give to you our worship and our honor, Father God, that all things exalt your name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Glory to your name. Glory, glory, glory. You are worthy, O God. You are worthy, O God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Mighty God, mighty God, you have won every battle. There has never been a loss. There is nothing. There is a zero in your lost column. There are innumerable wins in your win column. I thank you, Father God, that you never lost a battle. Everything that you do is always perfect, and there is nothing that is out of place in your will. Nothing that is out of place in your plan, Father God. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We align ourselves with your will, plan, and purpose. We align ourselves, Father God. We align ourselves. We open our hearts. We open our spirits that your river flows freely from us. Father God, I thank you that rivers of living water are springing up and flowing freely out from us to the world, to the people that we come in contact with. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name, glory to your name, glory to your name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. You say, well, Pastor Richard, I didn't feel anything. I didn't sense anything. I don't see a cloud. I don't see this. Did we just waste our time doing all that? Oh, no. Oh, no. We planted seed. I hope y'all understand this, that I and Michelle are not in charge of God's anointing. We are not in charge of when he pours out his spirit. We are not. So it's not up to me. God has timing. And like I said, nothing may have happened right here. I believe stuff did. I believe individual lives are changed because of our being together this morning. But the whiz bang, the glory cloud, the awesome manifestation of God's presence, if you will stay ready, he will manifest to you. He will come to you. It may not be until next Sunday, next Wednesday. It may be Tuesday night prayer meeting. It may be while you're taking a shower one day this week. It may be when you're getting ready to lay down. God's presence can come and overflow in your life. Take hold of it. Don't let that go away unnoticed. When you feel that tug, when you feel that anointing, pull on it. Pull on it as hard and as long as you can, and let him put you in that perfect place, that perfect place.
Just real quick, as you were ministering, Pastor and Pastor Michelle, I just got this picture that the Lord gave me. I'm not an expert. I don't know how these things operate, but I do know that I've heard that when they send up a shuttle or a spacecraft, that spacecraft is continually going around the earth. They're making that circle. They're maintaining. They're in alignment. They're doing what, but when they get that word from Mission Control that this is the reentry point that you come in, they come in at that point. But that time that they're going around, they're not wasting time. They're doing what they need to do until they get that word. They get that word that it's time to re-enter. So what we're doing, though it might seem like mundane, it seems continuous, we're, like the man of God said, we are doing something that is effective until we get that word that God said, this is the place. This is the place. So I want to encourage you, don't grow weary in well-doing, but keep maintaining, keep in alignment. Focus on the will, plan, and purpose that God has for us. And when we get that word, that clarion call of God, we will know that that's the place that the Spirit of God wants us to go. So,
awesome word. Awesome word.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep orbiting. Keep orbiting. Keep your coordinates tuned in on the right frequency. And the word will come. The word will come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for the word that we've heard today. I thank you that you are moving by your Spirit because you said you would. And there are things that have yet to be accomplished in the earth, but we know they're already finished in your Spirit. So I thank you, Father, you are faithful to fulfill all that you have said, all that you have set in motion. And Father, we, as an act of our will, we choose to remain open, to be pulled into whatever direction you want us to go, Father God, for you to lead us and guide us to the grocery stores, to the malls, to the shopping centers, to the office places, to the marketplaces, to the restaurants, where people are. Father God, draw out from us those rivers of water that are life-giving, healing, and restoration for the people of the earth. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that the word that we have heard this day will not be stolen from our heart, but we will continue to cultivate the seed, cultivate the ground around the seed so that it will produce much fruit. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise you, Father. Mighty God, mighty God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Well, I call you blessed. I say the Lord's hand is upon each and every one of you. His favor surrounds you, goes before you and on each side of you. That you are the sweet-smelling aroma of the presence of God in every place. Everywhere you go, people recognize and realize that God has showed up in their midst because of the fragrance that comes through you and the river that flows through you, that you are manifesting the presence of God. No weapon formed against you prospers. You are taught of the Lord because you are the children of the Most High God. So great is your peace and undisturbed composure. And that everything you put your hand to is prosperous and successful because you are anointed of God. You hear his voice, you follow after him, and he leads you into truth, triumph, and victory always. You are loved, you are blessed to be a blessing. You're dismissed. We'll see you on Tuesday night, as many of you as can. I want to make an announcement that I keep forgetting to make. We are taking communion every day here in this house. Usually it's around 4 o'clock, give or take, depending on when everybody or depends on when we get here or when we get ready. But we are posting it on our Facebook page. How many of you have seen? Most of you have seen that on our Facebook page, House of the Lord Facebook page. Every day there's a new video of us, and it the crowd changes every day. Sometimes it's just one time it was just me and Michelle. Sometimes we have Sister Jerry and Sister Gail. Brother Michael from Oklahoma, he got in on one the other day. And if you're in the house, you're going to take communion with us. So if you're in the area, you want to swing by, you're welcome to join. I would like for it to just grow and grow and grow till we have to move out here. We've been doing it in my office. But I'd like to do it out here and then maybe take it to the Bass Concert Hall. Is that still a thing? Or the Long Center, because of the amount of people who come and want to take communion. We do it every day. You can take it with us at your home. Share it. Share it with the people that are on your stream page, whatever, group feed. Facebook and I don't get along too well. It never does what I want it to do. But share it. Participate with us. Let us know when you join with us. And we're expecting mighty miracles every day, because people are opening their hearts and receiving and remembering the price that our Redeemer paid. So join with us on that. We'll be advertising that a little more. You're blessed. Go with God. Have a great Sunday afternoon. Pray for that.